Hi, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. I mean, I thought about that. What was it? Was it the Santa Monica Bank shootout? Where was that?
No, it was the Bank of America shootout.
Bank of America?
Canyon 10 years ago.
And he was there?
Well, it was a big deal. I think he was. He may have been there, or he covered it.
All right. We got to talk about it, because here, they must have... Are there bank shootouts that happen a lot in California? Is it like a sport or something?
There aren't that many. Usually they're high-speed chases.
Because, I've been on the air here since 98. Pardon me, I just belched. I hope that wasn't audible.
Well, it wasn't, but now everybody knows.
Sorry. You don't want to use this microphone anytime soon. I've been on the air for almost a decade, which just seems impossible. It just seems like an eternity. I have been here for almost 9 years or something. But the first month that I was on with that guy, he called me. I swear to God, we had Jim Roop live on the show as he was at a bank shootout, and you could hear gunfire in the background. And I thought it was that one, but maybe not. So we'll talk to him about that. Let's see what else we got. This we won't spend a lot of time talking about the Anna Britney thing. There's really not much to talk about. In fact, that's kind of the whole deal. Is that everything is just I don't even know what's happening with that, because Britney, I think they just got stuck in a hole somewhere, and then the Anna and Nicole thing. I think that they've made some DNA. Some announcement of the judge ordered something to happen.
No, nothing's happening.
There you go. And we're done.
He's just lying around.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from New York City, CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I thought about some theme music.
All right, because we like to give everybody a free hand in choosing what sort of music will be used to introduce their segments on the Rick Emerson program.
You know, I was thinking about it, and I thought, Frank Sinatra doing New York, New York, such a cliche. I'm not going to use that.
See, I'm glad that you chose the right there, sir. I'm glad that you chose the road less traveled.
And then I thought, what would really convey who Steve Kastenbaum is? And I racked my brain for a little while, and then I thought, oh, of course. I'm a proud native Brooklynite. The Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Sarah Dillon, how do you feel about that? What is your gut reaction?
I think it works.
All right. We'll give it a try tomorrow.
We'll give it a shot.
I should actually tell you that crossed my mind this morning because I was thinking about the New York and Brooklyn and I was thinking about the five boroughs and the so forth and going through my brain. And the Beastie Boys kept coming up in my head because they're so sort of New York-centric.
Right.
And so that one actually did occur to me. I'll do a rough mix of it. I'll put together No Sleep Till Brooklyn. I'll put together a rough edit tomorrow. We'll see how it works. All right.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Cool. Here's the thing. We all, working here in radio, we are paid poorly. And so as a result, none of us really know how the stock market operates or what any of it means or how it functions. But apparently there were many, many unhappy people yesterday. The Dow fell the most since September 11th? Was that it? Is it the biggest drop since 9/11?
Basically, the biggest drop since September 17th, 2001, which was the day the markets reopened following the 9/11 attacks.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of people who are standing on the tops of roofs right now wondering if they need to bother facing another day.
You know, it's really hard to judge where these things lie in the history of the stock market until we have, a good couple of weeks to go by. But I'm starting to get the sense after today's trading that, what happened yesterday is going to be just a small little blip on the radar when we look back there. You know, it was really big. Yes, there's no denying that. And it shocked everybody because it suddenly appeared on the board out of nowhere because of this technical glitch that they were having down at the Dow Jones with their computers and what we see on the ticker on the big board. But all that aside, when I was down in the financial district this morning talking to the traders heading to the floor of the exchange, they were all optimistic. They were saying, no big deal, I'm not frightened. I mean, they were definitely still a little shocked by how fast it happened yesterday. But everybody seemed to be on the same page saying today was going to be a great buying opportunity. There's going to be some good bargains out there, and I think the numbers have reflected that. The Dow Jones right now, as they're tallying the final numbers, hovering up about 52 points.
So this is one of those days where in the truest of American fashions, one can swoop in and perhaps make a little financial hay on the backs of others who had an unfortunate yesterday.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not even so sure they had an unfortunate day. It seems like it might have been a case of a lot of folks who were making big profits for a long time. The market had been up for the last 8 months. You know, there really hadn't been a significant downturn for about 8 months. So it seems like a lot of folks saw what happened in China and took it as an indication that, you know, I might want to take my profits out now just to play it safe. And now maybe they're putting the profits back in again. Although some of the big houses, some of the big stock brokerage firms, from what I've been hearing from the analysts, is that they've been sitting this one out on the sidelines today just to see how it plays out. But the hedge fund managers were playing a lot today with your money and with my money. And it seems that they did a good job because the stock market, like I said, right now, the unofficial close, 52 points up.
As we, before we go here today, I would just like to share this one final thought with you, apropos of nothing. Are you aware that James Brown is still not buried?
You know, what's going on with that? I covered his funeral, and that was months ago.
Now, where was... See, right there, it's that tone of legitimate shock and amazement. That's what I live for, those little moments. Where was... Color me dumb, because I know he went on a whole post-mortem tour. Where was his funeral? Was it Atlanta? Why am I thinking it was Atlanta? Where was his funeral at?
What happened was they brought his casket up from Atlanta to New York. Actually, first they brought it to Philadelphia. And then from Philly, it came up by a caravan.
Let me just say this. That nothing comes out of Philly smelling good at all, period. And those are things that are alive, all right? You could be a perfumery coming out of that city, and you're going to smell like something rank and dead. So God only knows what James Brown's body is smelled like coming out of that place. So, okay, so went from Philly to where to where?
Came up from Philly. Well, it went from Atlanta to Philly to New York. And then in New York, he lied, you know, for a viewing on the stage of the Apollo Theater for an entire day. And there were literally tens of thousands of people lining up in Harlem waiting for their opportunity to file past the casket. And it was a major event in Harlem, you know? Right. I mean, he was synonymous with the Apollo Theater.
Well, now now he's not... he's just synonymous with compost, I think, at this point. Because he died on December 25th. It is now... For those playing the home game, it is now February 20. It is now 63 days, I believe.
Yeah, it's really strange. And I wonder, what do you think? Who's going to go longer before they're buried?
That's what we're talking about.
Nicole.
That's what we're saying right now. This is that we've been following this just so we can bring you up to speed in all of the current story arcs, the current story threads on the Rick Emerson program.
Okay.
It's been a thing that we've been following for a while. So as the days progress, if you, my friend, come up with any James Brown news, any Anna Nicole burial news comes across your transom, you know that the Rick Emerson Show hungers for such facts because there's a whole burial horse race going on between the two. So I want you to keep that in mind as the day's news unfolds before you, all right?
I absolutely will. I mean, I'm as surprised as you are that James Brown still hasn't been buried.
Speaking
of horse race, you know, they pulled him into New York on a white horse-drawn carriage that day.
I'm just going to ask to be put inside a pepper mill. That's my whole thing. You know, just dig, you know, die, cremate inside a pepper mill. Everybody wins. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Steve, thank you.
Steve Kastenbaum, live from New York City, CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum. There you go. Excellent. Well done. I forgot that I haven't asked you.
We should totally not use No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No, that's a terrible idea.
I know. We'll find something.
No, when he said that, I was thinking.
You just push it onto me. What do you think, Sarah?
Well, because I thought about it this morning. I really did. This morning, I was like, Brooklyn, New York,
Beastie
Boys.
There are a lot of
Boys.
Thoughts about Brooklyn. We can find a good one.
Yeah, and I thought No Sleep Till Brooklyn. And it's too, you know. Can I say this? Can I say what we're all thinking?
Yes, I know. I know what you're thinking. Are you looking at my eyes?
No. Wait,
what? What are you thinking?
What are you doing with your eyes?
I was looking over there.
You're thinking it's 2K UFO?
No.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at Beaver Vendetta.
Awkward. Okay.
No, what are you thinking?
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking anything, actually.
Hi, we're five.
Okay,
let's all stop and reset. Now, when he said, how about No Sleep Till Brooklyn, I was flashing back to when I was thinking about what we could use as his introductory music. Please don't call about this topic. If you're picking up the phone to call about Steve Kastenbaum's opening theme, it's not worthy of...
Call
the
paper bag.
It's no paper V plastic. So, no, I was thinking about New York songs. When you think New York, you think the Beastie Boys. But if you're a certain age, especially, you think Beastie Boys because they're so New York-centric. And I thought, well, they had that whole record to the five boroughs, blah, blah, blah. I thought No Sleep Till Brooklyn. And you know what immediately occurred to me is that using No Sleep Till Brooklyn for your introduction music is a lot like using Bad to the Bone to introduce your film trailer.
You know what? I haven't seen the show yet, but there's that new show called I Love New York. And it's the girl who lost... You know, she's on Flavor of Love,
uh-huh.
And she's the girl who lost twice in a row, so now she has her own reality show called I Love New York, and I wonder what that theme song sounds like.
I don't know.
Maybe what did you set?
It's got to be better than No Sleep Till Brooklyn. That's a terrible idea.
Well, that's the girl who spit in somebody's mouth, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, that's the girl who spit in somebody's mouth.
No, the girl spit at her, and then she grabbed her by the hair and, like, slammed her head into the wall.
I don't know.
It was the best thing ever.
I remember seeing that.
All right, 503-733-2970. Okay, so here's the... you know what I'm going to do before we do anything else? I'm just going to read... What?
Are we going to play the song still?
What song? Oh, we got to do that still as well. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read this email about wild hogs.
And then
I'm going to read the second email about wild hogs. Then I'm going to breathe, and we'll probably play this song. And then we'll break, and we'll come back with news and so forth. Rick, I heard your talk yesterday about Bad to the Bone and how you avoid any movie that uses it like the plague. I thought you'd be interested to know that my friends and I made our own list of ways to spot that a movie is going to suck. Use this or don't. Love the show. Gets me through the long delivering day. It's from David in Southeast. And so this is... not a comprehensive list by any means. And I normally don't read stuff like this because then you just end up doing, the 50 things on a list. But this appears to be a homemade list. It's not comprehensive, but there's a lot of things on here. And so many of these I have seen. Because this all started with that Wild Hogs movie, which has not only Bad to the Bone, it has Highway to Hell. Here's another one. Born to be Wild. Any movie Born to be Wild. Because it's never in anything that's remotely badass at all.
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Anything that has white people singing Motown, too. If you're watching a trailer and there's like a mom and a daughter singing a Temptation song, that's a movie you can immediately, you don't even need to worry about seeing it. You don't even have to. It's so much less work for your brain because you can immediately just write it off.
Born to be Wild in like a commercial for mini bands.
Totally. Well, that's the thing. Born to be Wild is one of the songs that by definition is now only used ironically. It's only used to advertise things that are not wild in any way. Ways to know the movie's going to suck. It has more than one Wayans brother in it. Here's another one. If the trailer has James Brown's I Feel Good in it, the movie will suck.
That makes me shudder inside.
Totally. Because you're like, he was a blah, da, da, blah. I feel good. And then it's immediately you just start to, because you know that on the screen it's going to be some, it'll be like.
A dancing dog in sunglasses.
I was going to say it'll be Robin Williams. It'll be Robin Williams or Steve Martin.
No, it'll be Robin, high-fiving the dog.
Totally. Kind of high-fiving a CGI raccoon
or
something.
You and I should just quit our jobs right now and start a movie company. Yeah.
No, it'll be, if you hear something, it'll be like, what's her name, in Arrested Development. No, when you hear that movie, a song like I Feel Good, you know immediately it's going to be a wacky animal. It's going to be like a raccoon and a chameleon. And they're going to be, and then they're going to be bumping butts like on an ice covered igloo somewhere.
You're so dead on about this. It's making me nauseous. You can't talk about it anymore.
Ugh, God. If a movie is named after a song, it will probably suck. Yeah, that's true. The sole exception, there are no exceptions to that.
Purple Rain?
No, that's different though. That's a musical. That's not the same. I'm talking about a movie that's based on a pre-existing song. That's not a musical. That doesn't count. But if they release...
Love Story?
There's no song called Love Story. There's a theme from Love Story. No.
Love Story in the title.
No. I'm saying like when they release a movie called... what's a good example of a movie named after a song? When they release a movie called... Yeah, there's like a billion examples of this. Devil in a Blue Dress. Devil in a Blue Dress. You
that's
see
a
that?
Movie?
Yeah, you see it and you're like, well,
you
I don't.
The Devil Wears Prada.
I never need to see this. When a Man Loves a Woman. That hideous movie, isn't that Meg Ryan?
Yes, or she's Valky.
Yeah, and you're like, wait, it's called When a Man Loves a Woman.
That's
a never
bad
need
movie.
To see. It's a terrible film.
It's not that bad.
Anyway.
I just like the guy in it.
Let's see. Also, if the trailer has the line. And this, I'm presuming this is the man's name or the woman's name. If it has the line, blank, wasn't looking for love. How about this? If the trailer shows three women laughing or making any sort of meal together, the movie will suck. You totally know that's true.
And they're dancing with the spatula.
And it's multi-generations.
Yes.
It's always a grandmother and a daughter.
And somebody has a headscarf on.
Exactly. It's my wacky multi-generational family and its sumptuous ethnic dishes.
Do you think that there's some kind of food fight in any way, like a little bit of flour being tossed at one?
Totally. And they'll be talking about men while they make food. They'll be in the kitchen making empanadas, talking about men. And being saucy. If the trailer shows two people hugging or kissing in the rain, the movie will suck. There's never been anything truer than this. If half the commercial is spent telling you what bands are on the soundtrack, the movie will suck. You totally know that. That's the one you see more on television.
What was that one?
If it's like a 30-second spot and the last 10 seconds are like a black screen with just the names of the bands that are on the soundtrack, that's how you know a movie's going to be terrible. All right, we're done. We're done.
Those are so good, though.
But that's all that he said. It's not like a magazine list where it's like 50 of them. This is like David and Southeast. It's just like him and his friends came up with this. It's not a comprehensive list. They are all true, though. I'm going to read this one final email, and then we'll do the song, and then we'll break. Rick, about wild hogs. The disproportionate amount of discussion, the amount of advertising that this hideous movie is getting on the show. The pitch for this movie was probably along the lines of, it's old school mixed with Easy Rider for old people. I'm guessing this is this is brilliant. This guy Chris has sent us what he believes to be a synopsis of the movie Wild Hogs. Now he's never seen it. William H. Macy, sensitive guy whose wife has left him, and the group is getting on the road to help him get over his loss.
Or do you think they're already planning on getting on the road because all the other three guys seem kind of tough? Maybe he's tagging along.
Maybe. That could be true. And he discovers, maybe he gets into a fight and punches somebody. Maybe he discovers
he earns his manhood. Oh, totally.
He earns his manhood by punching a guy and then a woman kisses him. John Travolta, single ex-tough guy who is aging and will learn something about getting in touch with his feelings and growing as a person. And he probably has a son that he hasn't spoken to in like 15 years. That's the other thing. He probably has.
And he's going
to
be out of I can see iPods, I can see cell phones.
Totally. Tim Allen, family man who will meet a crisis on the road, probably involving cheating on his wife with some chick at a bar. And that's the other thing. He'll get back to some girl's hotel room, and he'll get all up to the point of cheating on his wife, and then it'll end with like him standing at a payphone by the side of the road at like 3 in the morning calling his wife, just going, I just wanted to call home to say that I love you, and you're the best thing that ever happened to a dumb guy
and
like me.
And he slides his wedding ring back on.
Oh, the hell with you. Why do you say that? Why do you say things like that? And then Martin Lawrence, wacky black guy who keeps it real. Okay. They encounter mild crises and then learn valuable life lessons that any idiot could figure out by themselves. There is a 90% chance that there will be a karaoke sequence at some point in this film. A group singing George is Bad to the Bone or something along the lines of Feelings by Morris Albert or possibly a Jimmy Buffett song. All right.
Oh.
503-733-2970. All right. We
sufficiently just grossed each other out.
No, it's horrible. I had this. Okay.
Tim, do you have any?
We don't
anything
have
that stands up for you?
We not at the moment. Tim is not even listening. Tim has set his mental spam filter to on. We don't have time to play the song now. We will do it after we come back. Come back, Tim, Mr. Skin, then the song. One final thought while we're talking about this typical, horrible, cliched movie. I have the greatest idea for a film. And I'm going to say it right now on the air because I'm never going to make it. This is not like one of those ideas that I keep to myself that I say on the air like Christmas Convoy that I'm then embittered about because somebody does it, because somebody steals it from me. I'm never actually going to make this film. But you know a film that somebody should make, not unlike Wild Hogs? Tell me this wouldn't be a brilliant idea for a film. Tell me that this wouldn't capture the hearts of Americans everywhere and earn like $200 million. I keep thinking Wilford Brimley, but he's probably too old now. You'd probably need a new crop of old guys. Old, sort of, kind of, you know. When
give
I say,
an example.
When I say, well,
give
you know,
an actor.
You know, Wilford Brimley is, when I say he's cool, it's not like he's a tough guy, but Wilford Brimley has a certain, he has a certain coolness to him, a certain kind of cool vibe, like an Abe Vigoda kind of thing. Maybe if Christopher Walken were 15 years older, but like sort of an old, sound of a, kind of an old guy, like an old kind of cool grandpa type. Wilford Brimley is the only example I'm coming up with now. Like maybe Peter Boyle from Everybody Loves Raymond, if he wasn't dead. Or if you could just pose him correctly.
Has he been married?
I don't know. So here's the thing, though.
All right, let's speed it up.
It's four old guys. They're all like, in the movie, they're all like 75 or 80.
It's Cocoon.
It's basically Cocoon. But it's four old guys, one of whom has been told he has 6 weeks to live. And so they go on a road trip together. No. This is the hook, though. This is what makes it edgy and funny.
Okay.
They go, and they live in, like, Florida, where all the old people live. They go on a road trip. The four men who have been friends for the forever, because one of their friends has been given 6 weeks.
All the wives are dead?
I don't know. But they're going on a road trip to a whorehouse in Nevada. That's the thing. That's their whole plan.
That is the dumbest idea for a movie I've ever heard.
No, it's brilliant. It's genius.
Four old men. One of them is going to die in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They're driving to Nevada to go to a whorehouse.
Yes, that's exactly because the guy. It's not just a whorehouse. It's the whole
thing.
It's
the adventures along the way. I know.
No, and it's not just the whores. It's the casino and the drinking and the gambling. And the whole thing is the old guy wants to go to Vegas, wants to go to Nevada. He wants to gamble and, like, drink and, like, you know, whatever. And, you know, and live deliberately deep in the woods. Or whatever the hell that Robert Frost thing is, and then go to a whorehouse, you know, before he dies. And the thing is, one of the guys dies along the way, but it's not him. It's an unexpected death. Somebody else dies, and then there's a daughter who's an adult that he's lost touch with. One of them reunites with the daughter.
Is he dancing at the
whorehouse? Yes. Yeah, the other guy.
Well, is it a total Twin Peaks thing where he goes into the room to meet his whore and it's his daughter?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not that. You
that
don't appreciate
this. Idea.
It's a great idea for a film. Dudes would see, you don't appreciate it because you're a woman. Men out there know that this is a great idea for a film. A bunch of old guys, one final fling where it's all gambling and whores before the guy dies of a tumor. It's a great idea.
So
I don't see it.
Okay, it's like
Cocoon. Meet City Slickers with whores.
Okay, so how much of the movie is going to be contributed to driving across country?
Well, the whole thing, except for the beginning where...
And so it isn't mainly the focus on the whores, it's just the trip.
The whores are the destination. The movie's about the journey, but the whores are the destination.
So it's a journey movie.
You're deliberately being obtuse. You're trying to not understand the greatness of this film.
The music of Journey?
I'm not gonna help anymore. I'm not gonna share any more of my wisdom with you. You don't deserve
your wisdom.
You don't deserve to hear about this. Great, you know it's a great idea. If you're a guy, you know
like
it's a
Cocoon.
Great idea for a film.
I like City Slickers.
See, wouldn't Cocoon have been better? Like Cocoon with whores
and cowboys,
but they're driving across country.
Are they driving a convertible? Like an older
car?
Yes,
that's the other. They know that
it's like turquoise and white.
They would probably start out by wackily renting the most expensive thing they could, and it would be so, like some huge ridiculous Hummer with
and
big
then it breaks
spinning,
down
with big spinning wheels.
Nobody finds this interesting. Why are we?
And
still
then it bursts into flames.
And they have to get some.
Then they continue to drive it afterwards.
And then there's a chicken truck at a gas station they go to, and they have to take it because their car breaks down. So they take the chicken truck.
You're making a mockery of my film idea.
There was a chicken truck, wasn't there?
We're breaking now. It's 503-733-2970. I don't know what all of these people are calling about. Why? Who would be calling during this segment? What would they be calling to contribute? Asking me to stop, maybe? We'll find out. We'll come back. We'll take these calls. I have Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com tells you who nudes up at the multiplex this weekend. Later, we'll play this song later on. Not this song. Another song. We're playing this song now. The best show ever. Back in a minute. All right, this is perfect. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Okay, we've got the cast now. Somebody has emailed me the perfect cast for my old guy film. My old guy film, four aging friends, one of whom is dying of a tumor. They're driving from Florida to Vegas to gamble and to be with whores before the guy dies. It is Cocoon meets Easy Rider meets City Slickers meets whores. Mailman Chris emails in. Perfect cast. Elliot Gould. Charlton Heston. Alan Arkin. Alan Arkin is perfect. He'd probably be the dying one. And James Earl Jones. That's what I'm talking about right there. Here's the other thing. I've found some more things. The one guy, one of the guys, he's in a nursing home, but it's like a real strict one, and they have to bust him out. There's a hilarious scene early on. They break one of the guys out of a nursing home. You know, and there's a whole lot of, like, one guy is...
One of them fighting someone off with his walker.
Yeah, and one guy is, like, pushing him, like speeding him across the street.
We gotta stop doing this.
No, this is hilarious. One of the old guys is speeding the other one across the street in a wheelchair, like, running, pushing him, and, like, trying to get him into the... Come on, get him a car! You know, and then they're being chased by, like a fat, wacky nurse as he's trying to get the old guy into the car.
So that's the kind of movie you want? You want the fat, wacky nurse?
Yeah, well, just for a second, you know, just the beginning. And then here's the other thing. At the end of the film, when they make it to Vegas and then to the whorehouse, Tumor Guy is off with the whores. One of the other guys, let's say maybe, maybe Elliot Gould. Elliot Gould, he strikes up a conversation with and clearly develops the beginnings of a relationship with the madam, who is his same age. He learns that he can find love with somebody his own age.
That's the whorehouse in Texas.
It's not. It's totally different. It's an entirely different film. All right. Anyway.
You realize you're just taking the best parts out of a lot of really good movies and then squishing them all together and trying to make them some
super movie. Oh, like that never happens. Like, I'm the only...
Well, stop trying to take credit for something. Like, you're coming up with some genius idea when all you're doing is, like, regurgitating.
Why do you gotta hate? Why do you gotta be a hater, Sarah Dillon?
Because I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Let's do this, and then we'll have Tim Riley here. Adam, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Mm-hmm. When did Scotty start coaching callers?
I'm sorry?
When did Scotty start coaching callers?
What do you mean?
What did he do?
Did he tell you were boring?
He told me 8 times, I counted, that he wants me to tell you to take it like a man. I have no idea why. It freaks me out.
What does Scotty want me to take like a man?
Scotty?
Oh, your movie idea is Set and Gone. 1999, Kirk Douglas, the senile old man, takes his family cross-country to go to a whorehouse.
Is that true?
Diamonds.
Really?
Awesome.
Is that Diamonds with Jenny McCarthy?
It is. The good news, Lauren Bacall's the madam.
Oh, you're so sad.
All right. Scotty's typing in the screen, I feel like telling this caller to F off.
He had his chance.
You're kind of an ass. All right, thank you. All right. Yes, Scotty, don't be mean to the callers. All right, so Jenny McCarthy.
When was this?
I remember Diamonds coming out. Well, first of all, it was later than 1999, I think.
No, 1999.
Jenny McCarthy.
Buried Treasure was never this much fun.
That sounds like it's a
mystery about an ex-prize fighter who embarks on a journey to find 13 missing diamonds.
Okay, wrong. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for calling.
It has Jenny McCarthy starring as Sugar.
Boring and wrong. All right, there you go. My film idea continues to be original and genius.
No, there's an old man in it, though.
Up your nose. Well, there's an old man.
It's not original.
It's an old man in The Last Starfighter. Doesn't mean it's about horse. All right, let's one more here. Our good friend Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir.
How's it going, man?
What's up?
It's creepy how close mailman Chris and I have in terms of casting.
Okay, tell me. Now, look, as a man, tell me that this isn't a genius film idea.
It is a genius. Here's how it breaks down, okay? Alan Arkin, he is the dying straight-laced guy.
Right. So he's got 6 weeks to live and he wants whores.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he fell in love. Okay, here it is. He fell in love in the Korean War. And, you know, the ceasefire made him come home and he couldn't bring his love with him.
Right.
The people who live with him on the wacky journey, I've got... Here's the two sidekick guys. I've got Peter Falk and James Earl Jones.
Totally, yes.
James Earl Jones is the fat guy they have to rescue from the nursing home.
Because then he's fat in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he's in the soundtrack playing in the background.
Totally, yeah. Okay.
But the partying old guy is Alan Alda, basically just recasting himself as Hawkeye all over again.
Alan Alda. There you go. And see, there'll be a lot of hilarious scenes. You could have a lot of kookiness where... you know, he's like getting ready to sex it up with a lady or whatever, but then he's in the bathroom because it takes him 40 minutes to pee. That's hilarious.
Right. Or, you know, he sips a martini and kind of winks at the audience.
Yeah, genius.
And here's the thing, that halfway through, Alan Arkin, you know, or Alan Alda, you know, the partying old guy, he finds out that it was a mistake at the hospital and Alan Alda really isn't dying, but he wants his friend to have great trip anyway, and he'll tell him afterwards... Unfortunately, he dies after a wild night of sex and martinis.
See?
And it isn't until after they get to the whorehouse where Alan Arkin meets, once again, the woman that he had to leave in Korea, who is, in fact, the madam of the whorehouse.
We're talking like 150 million domestic. All right.
Come on, man, this is huge.
It is genius. See, Sarah, You know what you're talking about over there.
It's you're talking to Aaron.
Aaron's the demo for this film. All right, thanks.
Hold on, man. I know what people want to see.
That's I know, nice. Aaron, I love you, but you and Rick are like the same person. So it's just like Rick talking to himself.
We know how to pander. Yeah. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right, that's Aaron. It's genius. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is your God now at the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I didn't know who he was talking about either. Well, breaking news. You can't bury Anna Nicole in Texas. Three judges have decided. So now she has to be brought back to the Bahamas.
Ew.
Whatever's left here to bury.
Sloshing around it in a box.
Well, she'd be like more crispy and less sloshy.
Right? Some old mayonnaise jar.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I made a morning show joke. I
Fantastic. All right.
Meanwhile, closer to home, Dateline Salem.
Contents may settle during shipping.
Husband and wife arrested after authorities say they tried to burn down their apartment to avoid paying their lease. 47-year-old Jerry Torin and 23-year-old Amy Torin. Well, there's quite a difference in ages there, isn't there? They're arrested on several charges, including arson. The authorities say a pile of clothes was set on fire in a closet at the apartment. Another fire started when a plastic tray from a child's high chair was thrown into an oven.
Fantastic.
During the fire, Amy Torin allegedly picked up the burning clothes in the closet and took them to the bathroom to extinguish the fire. They say the couple believe that burning the building down would relieve them of their lease obligations.
Were they correct?
Total damage? $500.
Yeah.
To a Salem apartment.
Fantastic.
Oh, and their two children taken into protective custody.
Yeah, so it really is a toss if they're raised by the parents or raised by the state. All right. Oh, all right.
Meanwhile, a 12-year-old Washington, D.C. boy has died of a toothache. A routine $80 tooth extraction might have saved him if his mother had been insured. The family had lost its Medicaid. Medicaid dentists weren't so hard to find. If the mother wasn't forced to get a dentist for her brother who had six rotten teeth already.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what's going on.
Boy died of a toothache.
Okay, but why?
Well, because it was $80 and the mother was uninsured.
America, land of the free and the uninsured.
So apparently this is going to pop up in the Larry King show. This is a Larry King type story.
Oh, totally, really. It's a heartbreaking story of the tooth decay. And
Well, an upstate New York man thinks, well, he can thank his cat for alerting him to a house fire while the dog snoozed. The cat is being credited for waking up Eddie Rooney after the fire started in his home.
Rooney?
Rooney was asleep on a living room couch yesterday morning when the frisky kitty woke him up. Rooney discovered the fire in the bedroom and called the fire department. He was treated with smoke inhalation. The pets weren't hurt. The blaze was caused by an electrical malfunction and a VCR. VCR. Meanwhile, dogs prone to motion sickness now have no reason to sit at home. They can go for a joyride. The FDA has approved a new drug to prevent and treat vomiting dogs. Pfizer Serenia is available in both tablet form and is injectable also. The new drug is also being touted for use in animals undergoing kidney disease or other ailments that lead to severe vomiting.
By the way, there's a clarified here. There are 5 American Pie movies and a TV series. The newest one is American Pie 5, The Naked Mile. Good God Almighty.
Boy.
All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, 3 people have been arrested on charges of swapping a 5-year-old boy for a down payment on a used Dodge. That's a truck. Nicole Uribe is accused of trading the baby to Jose Luen Lerma and his wife Irene in exchange for the down payment on a brand new... No, it's a used Dodge.
Well, of course. Well, I mean...
Oh, they don't make Dodges anymore, do they? All have been arrested on suspicion of felony trafficking in children and being held in a Pueblo, Colorado jail.
8009.
$50,000 bail each. Perhaps there's an informative booklet on this somewhere.
Yes, perhaps. Let's see. Jessica, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Jessica. Jessica. All right. Bummer. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, that story that Tim read about the people trying to set their apartment on fire.
Yeah.
It was to break the lease. And then last night I saw in the news, they were talking to some of the neighbors. there are no leases in that apartment complex.
That's genius. So
isn't
they
that
could,
awesome?
So they
could have just walked out.
They could have just left.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
They still owe 30 days rent, though.
They tried twice to start a fire. Didn't even need to.
That's genius.
They're still responsible for the last 30 days.
Yeah, that's true.
The stern voice of a renter, of a rental man over there. This smoke damage will be affixed to your final bill.
Yeah.
Actually, try to work that off. 15 cents an hour making license plates, idiots. All right, actually.
Yeah,
thank you, Ethan.
Hey, no problem.
God, I love stupid people, not Ethan. I love those people. The dumb provide so much.
That work. It only costs $500 in damage.
Seriously, was in Salem?
Salem, yeah.
Cost tens of dollars in damage to this apartment building. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Paul? Yeah, all right.
What's mine too?
This gets more fun every day. And Paul was saying that he knew the demographic for Wild Hogs, although I think Sarah really already nailed it. Russ? All right. No. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Georgia police are searching for two women, teenagers, they say, who robbed a supermarket bank branch laughing as they held up a teller with nothing but sunglasses to disguise their faces. The two handed the Bank of America branch teller and demanding cash, smiled as they waited, and walked out with stolen money. It wasn't clear if they had a weapon. It's been captured on bank surveillance. They don't know how much money was taken, but the kids could be as young as 16. The store is in a strip mall in an upscale Georgia neighborhood.
Of course it is.
The only such thing there.
All right. Let's see here. Rick, this is an America's Next Top Model thing. Well, you know, I'll get to this
tonight.
Later.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, there's a thing about how those bus boards, I guess, have been banned in a bunch of... What are the bus boards? It's like this chick standing in front of the waterfall. Isn't that it?
Yeah, and they're all kind of neutered up.
Really?
No, it's not even that bad. I don't know.
Santa Monica has pulled the, ads for the TV show are removed from the sides of Santa Monica buses after complaints.
Disrespectful to women.
What with Shona being all hot and whatnot?
Seriously.
What with Shona being all perfect and flawless? How dare you, sir? How dare you, sir? All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll break. We'll come back with more news, Jim Roop, and so forth.
An Albany pastor facing assault and criminal mistreatment charges after being accused of striking his 13-year-old son multiple times with a wooden panel. 47-year-old David Lee Fink, the pastor of the Potter's House in North Albany, taken into custody. Albany Captain Eric Carter said he found the boy with welts, bruising, and red marks on his thigh, arms, and buttocks. The investigation reveals Fink struck the child at least 10 times with a 16-inch longwood panel wrapped in duct tape. It's unclear what type of punishment was going on in the home. How is that unclear?
It sounds like we know exactly what kind of punishment was going on.
The young man will be put in the same place with the kids whose parents burned down the apartment house so they can find some suitable parents.
So they can find a meth lab somewhere for them to grow up in. All right. Until my tax dollars can pay to keep them in a small wooden cage somewhere. 503-733-2970.
What is with the Wild Hogs fever? I just go to a website and it's like a loved up affair at the Wild Hogs premiere, and here is the horrible picture of John Travolta with his backwards hat.
It's going to be the backwards hat. You know, here's the
he's trying to be one of the people.
Oh my God. And they're all wearing leather jackets.
Of course they are.
Thanks.
You know who's going to watch out for that kind of thing? You know who's going to watch out for the John Travolta-ing of his appearance?
Scotty J?
No. Well, good guess though.
I don't know.
Scotty J is going to, as Scotty J ages, he will become William H. We've got the whole cast covered. As Scotty J ages, he will become William H. Macy, which, as we've said repeatedly, he's, I believe, an attractive man.
Yeah, Scotty J is a good looking guy.
No, not Scotty, but William H. Macy.
He's the William H. Macy of the
Scotty. Scotty's really mad at me.
Scotty may become attractive in the future. No, you know who's got to watch out before he turns into John Travolta? You know, Dennis has got to keep an eye on that. You know what I mean? Like, if he didn't keep that weight in check.
Look at that.
Okay, here's what just happened. So I was trying to say diplomatically. Because,
like, you know, Dennis, when we first met him, he was a single guy. Now he's had a lot of changes in his life. Now he's all married with child.
I'm not throwing you a rope. Go ahead.
I'm not saying anything.
Stick to your ribs.
He's
too.
Bigger than he used to be.
He used to be.
There is more of Dennis to love. That is true. which Sarah indicated by holding her arms out on either side like a pair of parentheses and puffing up her cheeks.
He's not fat by any means. He's, he looks a lot different now than he did when we first knew him.
He clearly
like
is
Matthew Broderick.
Well, not that. Like Nathan Lane. He clearly is. Well, look, I'm one to talk. I mean, I'm all puffy myself.
You're not puffy.
After all, no, not like Dennis. After all, no, he clearly is. He clearly is a man who has to work though at staying slender. You know, some people they don't have to work at it.
And you know, that was when he was a single guy. Now he's committed, and he's not having to impress. Never mind. That is so isn't what I wanted it to sound like.
Kindness is kindness of once more.
Yeah, that's much better to say. How did you want it to sound, Sarah? Take another stab at it. You just take another swing at that pinata.
Well, since he already... See, and I'm starting it the same way, and it's going to end the same way again. Since he already has a lady friend, he doesn't need to...
He doesn't need to what?
Watch a girlish figure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, again, Dennis, not an unattractive man.
Dennis is very handsome.
Yes, he's a handsome man. He's got the rugged masculine features. I'm just saying he's clearly a guy,
I think
though.
He's coming.
Oh, God.
He's clearly a guy that is looking in the window.
Dennis, come here.
Some people can very, very naturally just stay slender doing nothing. Dennis is clearly a guy who has to work at staying slender. That's all I'm saying. So he can't slack for even a moment. And for God's sake, Dennis, stay away from backward baseball caps.
Of course, you're talking in the hall
and
we're talking about that you're good looking.
Yeah. Don't ever wear a backward baseball cap. That's all I have to say.
No, it's been several years since I've worn the backwards baseball cap. Actually, I kind of put that in retirement. But as far as my weight is concerned, I'm not taking stabs at you or Mr. Riley, who is in obviously perfect shape. But Mr. Emerson, you're not quite as slender as you were when I met you.
No, it's true. I am. I'm not getting any younger. I have put on some weight. I'm thinner than I was a couple years ago before, about 6 months before Bigger Than Jesus, I was having to get my all-time high weight. So I'm thinner than that, but I'm not as thin as I was when I did Bigger Than Jesus, which is actually the best shape I've been in.
You by no means are, morbidly obese. I'm just saying, we first
met. I'm morbidly obese.
Or kind of pudgy.
Because when we met you, you were in a different place in your life. Like, you're just wild, you're red.
Oh, yeah.
You're only cold.
My only intake of calories was rum and Coke back in the day, so I appreciate that. I'm going to go finish my Burger King. You guys have
okay. Thank you. That was pizza burger. All right.
Has the Rick Emerson show gone too far?
No, it's I'm just saying.
He's got his face working for him, though. He's got a good face.
He's got a sweet spirit.
He looks like... Who's the dad from the O.C.?
I have no idea. Peter Gallagher?
Yeah, he looks like Peter Gallagher.
He's way better looking than Peter Gallagher. Peter Gallagher's weird looking.
Oh, I think Peter Gallagher's very handsome.
Man, those eyebrows of his, really?
And while you were sleeping? Oh, come on.
Okay, Peter Gallagher is weird looking to me. He looks like he's a strange looking man. All right. Well, this is a bizarre conversation that we suddenly entered. I'm just saying, you look at John Travolta now that he's all greasy and he just looks like a big cube and some big jiggling cube of pork. If Dennis didn't take care of himself, he would become that. That's the thing.
Right.
That's totally, he's got to watch out. So, that was the comment we wanted to make. 5 seconds. We could have said it and been done if we just handled it correctly.
Only skin.
Yeah.
John Travolta, I don't think, was ever good looking.
I don't know.
He had much to work with anyway.
The raw material, the raw clay was really not helping him. I don't know whether John Travolta was ever good looking. I mean, he was a sex symbol. I mean, I don't really know. It's
because he wears little tight pants and... I don't know. I don't see it.
I don't know. I look back at, like, the Welcome Back, Kotter era, the Saturday Night Fever era, which is when he was at his zenith, his apex of being a film idol. And, again, I don't find him to be an attractive man. I don't. But I have many women who disagree, obviously. I don't know. Well, you know who can weigh in on this, since we're already so goddamn late today, is from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I got to tell you something. Peter Gallagher never looked more weird than he did in America in The Idol Maker.
Did you see that movie with Ray Sharkey?
No.
Oh, I think that was probably his first movie.
When did I first see Peter Gallagher, and where do I know him from? Like,
do you know him from While You Were Sleeping?
Yeah, well, he's while you were sleeping the whole damn time.
Yeah, While You're Sleeping in American Beauty, of course. He's in American Beauty. Call Me the King, or whatever he's saying to Annette Bening. What was that movie that I first became familiar with him in? I forget. It was some thriller. It was Sex, Lies, and Videotape. I think that's it. Thank you, Scotty. Peter Gallagher has got very, what we call very prominent features. And I'm not trying to be snarky about that. I mean, he's like John Travolta, though. Very pronounced features where they're very exaggerated in a way. So,
If you get a chance to see The Idolmaker, Ray Sharkey stars in it. It's a weird movie, and he's kind of weird, scary looking. At
him. He's got kind of a weirdness to him. He does look a little strange. Let me ask you this: John Travolta,
never sexy.
Not an attractive man.
I agree, not at all.
Is it just the Italian thing? Is that it? Is it just that he had like a certain, like an Italian charm, like a sort of Brooklyn thing?
I think maybe it's just like he was considered a sex symbol because he was all fancy.
Well, that was a chest hair and trinket decade anyway.
That's true. That is true. It might have been the dancing thing. You're right about that. It might have been the fact that he was, I think, a very talented dancer, a very gifted dancer, at least he seemed to be. So maybe that's it. That impresses a lot of chicks. So I don't know.
I think he was real good in Pulp Fiction.
He was fantastic. I mean, he's been really good. John Travolta, you can make fun of him. He's been very good even in some of his later roles. A movie that he got a lot of crap for, but that I really love, is Primary Colors. And people,
yeah, you're right, yeah.
He, as much as people wanted to just say that it was a Bill Clinton ripoff, he's very good in that role as Governor Jack Stanton. He's fantastic. And he's a gifted actor. He really is.
Nice wife, too.
Just a weird-looking guy. You know what it is? And can I be honest? Can we speak frankly?
Please.
You know what I find, physically speaking, to be a huge turnoff? The chin dimple.
Does he have a chin dimple?
Doesn't he?
I don't know.
He has a dimpled chin, doesn't he?
Oh, he totally does. Yeah, he has a little smurf butt chin.
I find the dimpled or cleft chin to be a huge turnoff. And I'm not trying to knock anybody. Look, you're just as God made you, you know, unless you get plastic surgery.
It's like, are you talking about like a Dudley Do-Right chin?
Well, there's two different kinds. There's the Kurt Russell. No, not Kurt Russell. Kurt Douglas. There's the Kurt Douglas where it's like the hole. Like you've literally got... Where it's like somebody took a pushpin and just, or somebody took their finger and went and just pushed it in. And you just got like an indentation. And then there is what Jessica Simpson had, which is where it's like the butt chin. Where it is like a cleft almost. It's like you got a pair of butt cheeks below your lip. I find both of those to be a big turnoff, certainly in women, and I think probably in men. I just find it a little off-putting as well. I think it's maybe one of the things that keeps it.
I don't think I've ever noticed Jessica Simpson's chin.
This is the gayest conversation that has ever taken place on the show.
That's why I went back to Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson, you're right. I mean,
I've never looked at her chin.
No, fortunately, she does have what magicians would call the gift of misdirection. She does have some diversionary ability. No, that is right. So, all right. Well, for the love of God, I had something I was... Oh, I was going to ask you about... And that Tim, of course, has left the room. Were you at this bank shootout 10 years ago?
Yes.
And what was it, the Bank of America shootout?
Yeah, in North Hollywood. And that was scary. That was a scary... Today, they're commemorating that day, and it was... I refuse. I'd rather not remember it. Like, I don't want to remember Katrina when I was there, you know?
We were having this conversation because I swore to God that I was on the phone with you or that you came on the air during some stage of that shootout, but I know that's not possible because...
Yeah, I wasn't working for CNN 10 years ago.
And I wasn't on the air 10 years ago, so I must have had you on the phone at some later shootout because it was like the second week that you were coming on the air and... we're still kind of getting to know each other a little bit. And I remember I was like trying to make some joke about Star Wars or something. And you're just like, you know, I can't really talk right now. There's these gunshots happening, Rick. And it was a weird exchange.
What was that? I remember something like that. What was going on?
I don't even remember. So tell me about, if you don't mind,
I think that was? That was, wasn't I covering the military training?
I don't think so. There was a crime happening. There were some guys. There was a bunch of cops surrounding a guy who was in a building with a gun, and there was some firing happening.
Well, there've been a few of those.
Yeah, and it was like this would have been like in '98 or so, like late '98.
I don't know.
But because I wasn't really living in California at the time, so I don't know what is this bank. What was the Bank of America shooting? I don't even really remember.
Well, these two guys, heavily armed, went into the Bank of America, robbed it. The alarm went off. The cops arrived. These guys came out with these assault rifles and hundreds of rounds of ammo, and they're all geared up in flak vests and helmets and crap. I mean, these two guys are going to take on the world, and they just start picking people up. Well, they start firing.
Right.
You know, one of them winds up killing himself. The other one is killed in the... not a crossfire, but is shot by police. So
right.
It was pretty intense. It went on for quite a while, too, as I remember. And they kept yelling at us to get out of the way, and I kept trying to look what was going on.
Who were you working for at the time?
KNX.
Yeah, so, I mean, as you were right, they were right there. So, I mean, that's insane. That's just to be, how far away from the action were you?
We were right there. In those days, it was pre-9/11, so we could cross those yellow tape lines pretty easily.
Right.
And I was one of the first guys there. For some reason, I was in the area. I forget what it was, but I was in the area, so I got there. And, you know, when I watch movies like Saving Private Ryan or Flags of Our Fathers, and you hear I remember hearing that real noise when I was there. So I had no idea how close the rounds were coming to me, but I know that all around me there's holes in all the buildings and everything. So it was pretty weird. It was pretty freaky.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't necessarily want to go to a big commemorative ceremony for that.
No, you know, it's like the riots back in whenever that was, too.
94?
I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to that either.
Yeah, sure. Have a commemorative plate.
Yeah, you know. Just send me a pin.
Yes, or just some cash.
Yeah.
Wait, nothing says commemoration like cash. All
That's right.
Right. Good. Hey, speaking of cash, and I really didn't mean to make that into a bad segue, but speaking of cash, what is it? I don't even know who Honus Wagner is.
Oh, my God. I was at that thing yesterday, and I got to hold that card.
$2.5 million.
Oh, my gosh. I got goosebumps holding it.
They let you hold something worth $2.5 million?
Well, again, I was the first guy there.
Ah.
And the news conference started at 11. I always try and get there early, because if I can get some one-on-one stuff, I don't have to sit through the crap of a news conference,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, and I'm talking to the guy, and he goes over to this case, and I said, can I see it? And he pulls it out, and there's big security guards there, and... he opens this thing up, and it was so cool, you know. And I said, can I hold it? And he just looked at me for a second, and, you know, I guess he figured, where are you going to go?
Right.
So he let me hang on to it for about, you know, 30 seconds. But, man, it gave me goosebumps. I'm a huge baseball fan anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal for me. It was pretty neat.
Jesus. And so, I mean, how many of these things are there?
Well, there's about 50 or 60 of these cards. But this is the most pristine. Even the torn and tattered Honus Wagner cards are going for, you know, 100 grand. The worst one will get you 100 grand.
Jesus.
But they're pretty hard to find because he had all his cards pulled out of the cigarette packs. They were giving them out in the early 1900s.
Is this the most valuable baseball card there is?
This is it. This is the what they call, you've heard this phrase, the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Sports memorabilia, the Mona Lisa, they call it.
Yeah.
But it is the most sought-after piece of sports memorabilia out there.
Does somebody own it?
Yeah. They won't give us his name. He's in Orange County. But there's an SCP Auctions is sort of a co-owner.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of partnered with him in that thing, so they're the ones that were showing it off. They're going to put it in the Smithsonian for about a year so everybody can see it.
That's amazing.
It's not much bigger than a stick of bubblegum and a bubblegum pack of cards. It's
right.
Kind of small, but it's a portrait. It's not a picture.
Right.
And it looks fake. It looks like somebody could real easily, mock that thing up.
You should try that.
I should.
Give it a whirl.
See if I can get 100 grand for it.
What's the most, if you even know this, what is the most valuable thing that you got rid of and didn't keep? Do you even know?
No.
I mean, because I try not to think.
I don't think I want to know.
Yeah, see, I've told this story a million times about how I went off, you know, I moved away from home, like, before I turned 18. I mean, it was 17 and a half or whatever, and I just turned 18 maybe. Anyway, I moved away from home, and I came back a couple years later or whatever, and my mom had taken all my Star Wars figures. And every guy my age has this story. My mom had taken all my Star Wars figures and had just put them in a brown paper bag, stapled it shut, and sold them all for $1 at a yard sale. Grab bag, Star Wars, $1 or best offer. Some guy who's now bought a car with those, you know, just came along, threw down $1, walked away with all my Star Wars stuff.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's got to feel good.
I don't think I owned anything of value ever. I honestly don't think I did. I mean, I had baseball cards, but, you know, I got Rusty Staub, you know.
Right.
I don't even think I ever got a Rod Carew or a Pete Rose or anything like that.
It's like my baseball, my football cards. I just got the Brian Bosworth card.
Yeah,
that's
you know.
That's it. Yeah.
Brian Bosworth, any place
football?
Yes, yes.
That's how invaluable that was.
That's how invaluable LeBron. Yeah. There's a joke there, but I don't know what it is. I got nothing. All right. We really peaked this whole thing with the I never owned anything of value.
I really have never.
Hey, dude, I'm never going to own anything of value. Yeah. And I got a job. So, all right. Enjoy your day, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, pal.
Thank you. There's Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, Chad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. All right. Well, good. I don't want to take those calls anyway. And we're breaking, apparently. Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, you know what we're going to do when we come back?
I haven't the foggy yet.
It's some news.
Imagine that.
It's all very exciting.
It is. I am.
We'll come back. News with Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, later on. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.